Life and Style, Radio Life and Style, coming to you from out of the blue and ready to launch into a special chat. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to hear from our friend Gavin Steinhobel, our legal eagle from Kloppers Inc. in the house, coffee in hand. Makes my Wednesday. How are you doing, Gavin?
Yeah, good, Mike.
And hey, listen, I can't believe it's already been a week since you were in here.
Yeah, it's been a scorcher of a week. I actually decided I'm just going to embrace the heat and enjoy it because it'll be winter soon and dry. And so, it's been get to go to work in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. So why not?
There is that kind of understanding, I think, in this part of the world that your corporate vibe can be slightly relaxed.
we can't go full jacket and tie.
that was the whole thing with Bermuda shorts, right? Yeah. You know, Bermuda got this kind of special pass. You're allowed to, if you worked in an office, or you could rock up in shorts. We'll allow it because it's sweltering and humid. I don't think air conditioning had been invented at the time when the Bermuda short was adopted.
I remember meeting Thompson, the CEO of Devemco, and I mean, this is a multi-billion rand company, and he was in sort of baggies, flip-flops, and a T-shirt. And I thought, well, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
It takes a certain amount of confidence.
I think, like, California and the sort of the Silicon Valley guys have sort of popularized this more relaxed approach, and they sort of made it kind of acceptable even in a sort of formal business context.
I suppose it's all inherited from sort of, you know, the British invented the suit, and it became a sort of a respectable way to dress. And unfortunately, you exported to the colonies where the weather was totally different to the UK.
Very impractical. It does look smart, but...
Yeah, I remember sitting once in the Mpangeni court, and in those days you had to wear your tie, your jacket, and then put your robe on over that, and the air conditioner wasn't working, and a very sadistic magistrate insisted that nobody could disrobe, and we had to be dressed properly in court. So it was torture.
You see, and you can't get on the bad side of a magistrate.
No, they can be quite tyrannical in their courts. That's their little fiefdom, and you have to do what they say.
You know what? I'm sure you're glad that you're not sitting in an Mpangeni courthouse right now.
No, that Zulu land is particularly hot.
Well, hey, it's going to be another scorching day. There's no real end in sight to the heat wave. But look, the literal heat is echoed by the kind of metaphorical hotting up of the market on the property front, the development scene, and 2026 is now in full swing. A new financial year just around the corner, but things are, it seems like, going full steam ahead. I've just seen reports coming in of construction flying on Seton House, the new elite private school coming to KZN's fast-growing North Coast, according to Business Tech. It's making national headlines and looking really good as a full offering from grade quadruple naught all the way up to matric. Another addition to our already very healthy schooling options here on the North Coast.
I suppose, you know, historically we all sent our kids away to go to high school, you know, whether it's to Maritzburg, to all those good schools, or whether it's to... my son went to Kearsney, which is a brilliant school. And, there's probably no need now with so many good schools in the area. So that's a great idea. I did see both my children benefit a lot from the boarding establishment and from being fairly self-sufficient from about the grade 8 level right through school. And then go off to varsity, and it was old hat, you know, because they're used to taking care of themselves and having some sort of personal discipline.
Yeah.
So there is that aspect to it, but I can imagine if you have those options locally, why not?
Well, this is the thing, and that's one of the exciting developments on the sort of educational scene locally, and then of course the big Club Med development.
That's extremely exciting. Aren't they opening in a few months' time?
4th of July, I believe, is the stated opening date. Bookings already happening online, apparently. Pictures looking like it's, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the structure is done.
It's extremely exciting. I mean, you know, the pull of tourism and all those tourist rands that will come in, or tourist euros and dollars. And then secondly, it has an uplifting effect on all the agricultural land lying around that area. You know, it'll become ripe for development. A lot of speculation about what it'll mean.
I've already heard rumblings of other major international hospitality and development groups that are in discussions now with the local partners on the ground and are already eyeing up adjacent sites. Apparently, this is it's called the Club Med effect. It's sort of a well-known thing. Mm. Apparently, Club Med was the first big hospitality entity to enter Cancun. Yeah. And look at what Cancun in Mexico has become since.
Cancun was a fishing village, and now it's a proper destination for revelry and
this is the thing.
And holidays and fun.
This is the halo effect. When Club Med enters into a market, other big fish are right behind it. And we're not going to be able to sort of fully appreciate the Club Med effect until it's happening.
There'll be a massive amount of satellite industry that feeds a big enterprise like that.
Yeah.
You know, basically all the food, the staffing, you know, the maintenance, you know, the list goes on and on of people that'll service this big business, this big entity that's coming to town. So, very excited. And also, there's talk of direct flights from France, you know, because obviously these people have to come get here. And so it's sort of got that effect as well. And
it's a big deal. And not also forgetting that attached to this coastal development, the Tinley development, there is, sort of 3 hours inland in the Pongola area, the safari offering, which is Club Med's first ever safari thing. So now they'll be selling packages where it's going to be a couple of nights at the beach and then you go off for a couple of nights in the bush.
And as people who grew up in Africa and South Africa, we're pretty blasé about seeing, for example, the Big Five or just, you know, the diversity of wildlife that we have here. You know, you travel abroad and, you know, there's most of the wildlife doesn't exist anymore. And if they do, there's a handful of big mammals. But we've got it all. And to actually see that in your own lifetime, if you're a European or an American,
it's a big deal.
Is a big deal. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is. And, you know, there have been some interesting reports recently. It was Penny Faree, our very intrepid investigative journalist, has been covering some of the stuff on the sidelines regarding recruitment and making sure that there's equal representation in terms of who's being recruited from what wards locally. It's been hotly contested, and now apparently there's a whole new process being put in place to make sure that there is equal opportunity for...
I just so wish politics would stay away from business and sport and all those things, because politics sours everything. You know, you'll have a wonderful idea and everything will be going beautifully, and then the politicians, who bloody blowhards and know nothing, have to get involved and tell everybody how to run their own affairs, when the best person for running your own affairs is yourself. You're the best person to know what's good or bad for your business, for your personal life, for your family. We don't need the politicians.
Well, I think there's a lot of merit in that in that thinking. But by the way, if you want to hear a very interesting latest episode of Uncensored with Penny Faree, the podcast, very popular at the moment, and Gavin Steinoble is featured in the latest episode, weighing in on a very interesting issue as well, that I won't get into right now because it'll derail our whole Wednesday morning chat.
We'll go down that rabbit hole. Yeah, it was great sitting down with Penny, and it is a very interesting story. So if you are listening to podcasts, that's a good one to listen to.
Uncensored. And you know what, she's got quite a following now on her Substack page and podcast subscribing, and she does a really deep dive. I think she's fantastic. We'll be catching up with her for a Friday focus on the morning show this week. But right now, Gavin, what's in your focus in terms of what's getting you excited and fired up as the year rolls on?
Mike, you know, we normally come back to a relatively flat January in terms of, you know, people are still, you know, getting out of their costumes and getting into their work clothes. Yeah. And, you know, we don't really see much action. And you're normally gnashing your teeth and wringing your hands and wondering what the year ahead's going to look like. And it normally starts sort of taking off, you know, late Feb, early March. And this is the first year that I can remember that I've come back to the office and there have been, you know, a number of bond instructions from the banks, a lot of new transfers, and we really hit the ground running. So it's an indication generally that the market sentiment, particularly towards property, is very positive at the moment. And so I think a lot of people, there was a bit of deferment again last year with decision making and so forth, but a lot of people have made their decisions and They've bought the properties they want to, or they've sold where they want to, and buying elsewhere. So there's a lot of that. I see a lot of transactions in Belito are somebody selling and then simultaneously buying locally, which is a very good sign for the market, because it means people are staying and they want to stay here and they see their future here. And so, yeah, we don't. There was a stage where we saw a little bit of drift down to the Cape. But it doesn't seem like there's much of that on the go at the moment. So I think there's a lot of market confidence in this area, and the sentiment is good.
I've been really interested to see almost that kind of counter flow, and I bumped into quite a few people already this year, and finding out, oh, you're new in town. Where are you from? Oh, we were in Cape Town. You've come to the North Coast from Cape Town. Well, that was a move that I wouldn't have predicted.
Something I've noticed is that it's been a while since I've heard of anybody emigrating. But I know quite a few people that have come back in the last while, so it does seem. I think things are not that rosy abroad at the moment. I think there's a lot of political upheaval. Europe just seems to be in some sort of malaise. I think the U.S. apparently the Dow Jones is at record levels, and they seem to be doing economically well. But generally, I think people who, once you're from here, I mean, if you're a South African, it's home. There's just no place that can replace it, with all its problems and with all its troubles and with hot days like this. Nevertheless, you know, this is what we're used to. This is the culture we grew up in, and these are the people that we like rubbing up against. You know, they don't feel strange, they don't feel peculiar, and it's a comfortable place to be. So I think I saw a lot of people come back last year and seriously want to give it a go here. I also think quite a lot of people can work fairly remotely. So your geographic situation at the moment, you know, is not that significant. You can go online and you can get your job of work done or you know, provide the service that you provide if it's not a physical service. And you can live anywhere in the world. And, you know, connectivity, and that's just going to get better and better. I think the Starlink thing is inevitable.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about technology, if there's a better technology, you can fight it, you can resist it, but it will eventually be the technology of the day, and that's going to happen in South Africa. So we're going to see a lot of positive change in the next while. I think there's been a lot of very bad ideas that have been pursued at the behest of the ANC and their trade union buddies, but at the end of the day, I think that's going to come to an end. I think everybody can see that hasn't worked, and we have to start thinking about business. We've got to start thinking about the economy. And once you grow that, it's amazing all the social ills disappear, because people have jobs to go to and they have things to do. So I've got a feeling that South Africa is really, this is the year. This is the year we're going to see some good positive change. And we're very lucky, because, you know, as much as I don't like the fact that every time somebody should be strung up, we have a commission, and there's no consequences for the malfeasance of these politicians, and they have been dreadful. But at the same time, it shines a little light into the dark corners, and you know, sunlight, you know, has an effect, and we all can see what's going on. And I think voters from top to bottom, from educated to uneducated, everybody can see what they see, and I think they're going to take this home and they're going to vote differently.
There you go. You've said it before. Sunlight's a great disinfectant.
Yeah, it does. It does the job.
Well, let's keep standing in the sunlight then.
Yeah, and you know, and then you know we're still in a free country. You know, once you lose your freedom, you don't get it back. And at least we've got that. We've still got our freedom of our press, and you can say what you like. And, you know, so...
healthy institutions.
That's what we need, and we don't have them. They've been undermined, but we'll get it back. You know, we can get the National Prosecuting Authority back. You know, and all these captured institutions. I mean, particularly recently, it's been quite obvious that our international affairs have been captured. I mean, we're doing the most outrageous things on the, and definitely not in South Africa's interest on the international stage. And we all know why, and we all know that that has been captured. But we'll get it back. We'll get everything back in this country. It's too good a country, and the people are too good to allow this to continue.
I like that sentiment. Ending off on that note, and one of the the good oaks in our town. Gavin Steinable, right here on the radio. If you're looking for a considered opinion, and if you've got a piece of property that you're eyeing out and you want some assistance with and on all the legalese and the paperwork, this is the man to talk to at Klopper's Inc. down in the Bolito Village. Gavin, what's the smartest way for our listeners to get in touch directly?
Yeah, well, we're down in the village just behind the spa down there, in the building behind it, the Bolito Center, big signs, ground floor. You can't miss us.
Good coffee.
Yeah, good coffee.
Good coffee.
I insist on that.
And good conversation, Gavin. I always enjoy these Wednesday catch-ups, and you bring coffee, which is just a bonus. Yeah. So let's do it again. Coffee next Wednesday. What do you say?
Coffee next Wednesday. You're on.
You heard it on Radio Life and Style. Back to the music with Avicii and L. King riding away. Taking you closer to 9 o'clock.